We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Good morning and welcome to 95.7 The Game. Alongside Lorenzo Neal and Dan Dibley, I'm Joe Fortenball, welcoming you to an abbreviated version of the program today. We got you covered until 8:45, at which time Uncle Townie's going to come in to kick off the Dugout Show. That's going to run right up until 9:37 a.m. when it's first pitch, Blue Jays, A's. You can catch all the action here on 95.7 The Game as Oakland looks to avoid the O Canada sweep. But in the meantime, we actually have a pretty stacked show today. I couldn't sleep last night, so I came in at 2 a.m., had the whole thing written, show that is, before you guys even got here, drank way too much coffee, and came across a terrifying story, Lorenzo Neal. Headline, scientists to unleash 20 million mosquitoes in Fresno County.
Yeah, right. 20 million mosquitoes in my town.
Courtesy of NBC Bay Area.
My God.
The mosquitoes being released are only sterile in the pronunciation of Austin Powers.
Yeah.
Males, NPR reports. This will ultimately end up in a smaller population of mosquitoes in the county as the eggs females lay after mating will not hatch.
Shooting blanks, coach. They're going to be shooting blanks.
Mosquitoes shooting blanks, correct. It's going to be the old switchola. The scientists are trying to play on the female mosquitoes down there in the valley. But, Dibs, I think this goes without saying, I'll be declining any invites down.
Thank you so much.
But I'm going to have to pass.
20 million, you said? And I think you mentioned earlier 1 million a week for 20 straight weeks.
Yes. It's going to be very efficient. 1 million mosquitoes released into Fresno 20 consecutive weeks.
Well, this is why you guys should come to Fresno. Then you know that the mosquito population is going to be down. And Joe, you're Mr. Joe, you're a pretty sweet guy, so the mosquitoes they're not going to be biting you because they're going to be dead.
We'd rather go to the Everglades, coach. Just walk around in the swamps of Florida, run into some alligators and some old mosquitoes down there.
Really?
Fresno. That was the headline. I was like, this is what I'm going to lead the show with. Scientists to unleash 20 million mosquitoes in Fresno County.
That is crazy.
Mike Golick's going to join us at 7:30, and we got a lot to get to with a major story developing out of Baltimore. But first, here comes Dibs with your update.
And the headline story, Joe, is the 49ers opening their camp today. The first season of John Lynch and Kyle Shanahan unofficially begins today as the Niners welcome in the rookies and the vets into camp. The Raider veterans will report tomorrow. Some other NFL news. The Chargers acquire Cardale Jones from Buffalo for a supplemental future draft pick. The Jets claim Lucky Whitehead off of waivers after the Cowboys had let him go. And Ravens quarterback Joe Flacco likely out 3 to 6 weeks with a disc problem in his back. Who the Ravens might add at quarterback is coming up in just moments. Story number two, Santiago Casilla has done it again.
Now the pitch to Morales, switch hitter batting left, is swinging a high fly ball to right. Joyce back, Joyce at the track, right to the wall, and this game is over on two swings of the bat. Smoke tied it, Morales wins it, and suddenly the A's are stunned by the Blue Jays in the ninth inning.
Ken Korak here on 95.7 The Game. Back-to-back home runs preventing Bob Melvin from getting career win number 1,000. As Joe mentioned, Day Baseball today, the Dugout Show, 8:45 here on 95.7 The Game. Story number three, Giants head into their off day with a series win over Pittsburgh 2-1. The victory in the finale, Jeff Samardzija gets his first W since July 2nd. They're at L.A. tomorrow. The update brought to you by Roto-Rooter. Buying or selling a house? Roto-Rooter does video camera line inspection. Go to rotorooter.com to connect with your local Bay Area Roto-Rooter. And away go troubles down the drain. Rotorooter.com. I'm Dan Dibley on your home of the NBA champion Golden State Warriors. 95.7 The Game.
Good stuff, Dibs. Explain something to me. Not a loaded question, not a trick question. I need your help. Why do the A's continue to throw Santiago Casilla in the ninth inning? Simple question, just why? Can anyone give me one reason, one viable reason for why they would continue to use Casilla in the ninth inning, whoever wants it.
To showcase him ahead of the trade deadline, Joe. Because if he gets hot, it might be an asset some other teams want.
No, because someone gave a code red. Did you give a code red? They put him out there, and you see what happened.
It's 2-0, and you've got a situation last night where Bo Mel's still looking for that 1,000th victory. Paul Blackburn is looking for his second career win. You're up 2-0 in the ninth. Casilla comes in, walks Donaldson, immediately gives up a two-run shot to Justin Smoke, and then Kendrys Morales comes up, next batter, hits a home run. That's it. Not even one out. That is now 6 blown saves in 22 opportunities, 4 blown saves in his last 16 opportunities. So again, just based on this, I'm not Billy Bean. I don't understand the intricacies of Moneyball and some of the analytics these guys look into. I get that. But right here, this appears to be a problem.
It is.
Am I overstating that?
No. It's a big problem if you're on a contending team, but for a team that's largely playing out the string, it doesn't really matter that much, but it is tough to watch.
I mean, good God.
He's bad. And unfortunately, it doesn't seem like there's light at the end of the tunnel. You saw what the Bolch did to him last year. Hell, he had enough sense to say, sorry, Castillo cried and start twisting and turning and saying, I felt disrespected. Well, hell, these are some of the reasons. And the guy's trying, Joe. That's the thing. He is giving it everything he got, but he can't do it. He's done.
All right, now I got something for you. Let's get into it. So, the headline, Joe Flacco reportedly out up to 3 to 6 weeks. The injury bug has hit the Ravens. Running back Kenneth Dixon has been lost for the year due to a knee injury. The report yesterday is that Flacco is preparing to miss 3 to 6 weeks due to a disc issue in his back. At a minimum, he's going to miss a week or two. Back injuries, very tricky. Maybe he returns and he's fine. Maybe this continues to flare up throughout the course of the season. Currently, your backup is Ryan Mallett. He of the, I believe, 7 career touchdowns and 10 career interceptions. I have to check my numbers, completing about 55% of his passes in the NFL career. So, what's the likelihood? John Harbaugh, head coach in Baltimore, picks up the phone, calls Jim Harbaugh, head coach at the University of Michigan. Hey, bro, how you doing? Tell me about Colin Kaepernick. Should I sign him? Can he function here in Baltimore?
Yeah, that has to be the phone call. Without a doubt, Joe, that has to be the phone call. You heard Jim Harbaugh and John Harbaugh. You know they're brothers, the Harbaugh brothers, and they always talk about blood is thicker than water. And you heard what Jim said. Jim said, hey, this guy is a starter in the league. He's not broken. He can play. And the reason why he said it, because he can reflect back being here and Colin took them to a Super Bowl. Yeah, they lost. But he's been to the NFC Championship, so he's played in big games. So he will definitely, John will pick up the call, call Jim, and it's going to be interesting to see how that conversation, you know that conversation is going to take place, and it would shock me. It would shock me if Colin's not there. You look at Ozzie, who's their GM, a man of color, a guy who went through a lot of different things and being one of the first black GMs in the National Football League. And, you know, you Bashotti, the owner, listens to, you know, to Ozzie. So this is a situation we'll see. I know it's a tough place, but I think that you have to kick the tires. You saw San Diego pass. I mean, the L.A. pass. I told you guys yesterday on the show, I said, it's going to be tough. Teams will trade for backups, then get Colin Kaepernick.
And you speaking, of course, about the Chargers trading for Cardale Jones from Ohio State with the Buffalo Bills instead of signing RG3.
Absolutely. And are signing Colin Kaepernick. So it goes to show you that this thing that Colin has done, and people feel that it's a crime, it has really, really is a trickle down throughout the National Football League, Dibs.
What does it say, Dibs, if the Ravens do in fact decide we need to bring in a quarterback? This Flacco thing, no matter what, we need some insurance. So they need a quarterback. Let's say Colin's available and he's available for cheap. The price isn't the issue. What does it say if John Harbaugh signs a quarterback but doesn't sign Colin Kaepernick?
It says maybe in his eyes he doesn't fit stylistically with what the Ravens try to do. Joe Flacco, a big pocket passer quarterback style, and Colin Kaepernick's not going to be that guy. So I think that they could hide behind that as a reason, potentially, if there was going to be a reason that they went in another direction. But you continue to see these other quarterbacks get backup jobs, and you mentioned the list yesterday, he would be among the best four or five, without a doubt, on that list of backup quarterbacks. So the only reason I think that Baltimore would have would be stylistically, he doesn't fit their offense.
If I gave you $150,000, what would you do with it? Lo, Neil, I want you to think about that. If I gave you $150,000 cash right now, what would you do with it? Dibs, what would you do with $150,000 cash right now? I want you to think about it. Listeners, I want you to think about it as well. Would you take it and would you throw it to the bottom of a lake? Someone did. Joe, Lo, and Dibs with that when we return. 95.7 The Game.
Now back to Joe, Lo, and Dibs on 95.7 The Game.
Today's theme, musically, you'll notice, bands from north of the border, Canadian bands. As the A's look to avoid the Canadian sweep, we'll be playing some Canadian music throughout the day. Ironically, though, this is called American Woman.
That is irony.
Is it irony or is it coincidence? I don't know. I've never really understood irony. Is that irony? Ponder that as you drive around this morning. Joe, Lo, and Dibs, 95.7 The Game. NFL grab bag segment coming up, and we begin with Julio Jones, who had a pair of $300,000 earrings until he lost one of them, fell off to the bottom of a lake, $150,000. Lo, Neil, you led a very impressive, very profitable 16-year career. You've also been kind enough to share your time with a lot of youth, try to pass on some knowledge, some wisdom, some advice, whether they're going to be pro athletes or whether they're going to go into something else. You have a son who plays football at Purdue. $150,000 on one earring. When you hear that a professional athlete just lost $150,000 at the bottom of a lake, what do you think?
What you talking about, Joe? What the hell are you talking about? To me, it's like, I understand if you have that kind of money, you can do whatever you want. It's your free will, but you're not rich. You got to realize you're wealthy. You make good money, but it's interesting when you watch athletes. A lot of them are broke 2 to 3 years after they're done playing football, and they wonder why they're broke. You spend $300,000 on a pair of earrings, and if you're gonna do that, if someone else is going to do it, it probably wouldn't behoove you to wear them while you're out on the boat. You should probably put them up because that's a lot of money. And people look at it and they say, well, God, here's a doctor. He's able to buy a house. You don't see doctors and lawyers spending $150,000 just on personal earrings. And I understand if you got it, use it. But there's just a lot more things that you can do to create generational wealth. If I had $150,000, if you were just going to give me today, first thing I'd do, me and my son would talk. He's at Purdue. I was like, you know what, son? If you're going to be involved in this university, come back doing some years, I want to help you out. Let's look to buy a house. I would buy a house in Purdue in Indiana, close to the campus, because real estate's probably cheaper there, and say, let's invest in this house. It'd be his house. For then, after he's done, he can live in it. Have three other roommates, so they'll pay the mortgage and they'll pay the rent for him. And then to teach him how to take care of it. Because now, for those next couple years while he's there, when they tear up a wall and bust a hole in the wall, a college student, he's going to have to fix it. He's going to have to understand the importance of renting out a house, importance of how much money you got to put in. And so it would be a great teaching moment for him. And that money would be wisely spent. So that's what I would do with it, Joe. I'd buy a home in Purdue and let my son have it and teach him a little bit about real estate.
You know what would be funny? Thinking of that big sucker walking around that house. Guys, stop wrestling.
Yes, exactly.
No horseplay in the living room. I told y'all, you're not going to break that wall. You got to pay for that.
Right.
Unlike other college kids who, I remember when I was in college, destroyed the place and then just left. And this for the next guy to figure out. Dibs, how much money would you need to make a year to buy a pair of $300,000 earrings?
$10 million. $10 million a year, just offhand. And this is, of course, knowing that I could never pierce any part of my body, let alone wear just one earring, if that's what he was wearing. I think he was wearing just the one earring. I have an OCD thing where I would need to have two earrings. If I ever got a tattoo on one arm, I'd have to have the same tattoo on the other arm.
Gotta be balanced out.
I got issues like that. But if I was going to be spending that much money on a pair of earrings, for example, clip-ons in my case, it'd have to be $10 million.
Why can you not get any piercings?
Just the whole thing just horrifies me. The fact that I would have one hole in one ear, even a hole in each ear, That just doesn't jive with my sense of self.
Perhaps a nipple.
I think I'm good. And let's not go any further south. Let's just go ahead and say it's a no all the way down.
Keep it going, Joe.
It's a no from head to toe,
Joe. The old Prince Albert, as they like to call it.
In the can, yes. Let's get him back in the can.
The Cowboys yesterday made a move that on the surface, you might just think to yourself, it's training camp. Who cares? According to Adam Schefter of ESPN, Dallas is going to bring in running back Ronnie Hillman. Now, Hillman played his college ball at San Diego State. Nice player coming out of San Diego State, but never caught on in Denver. That was a guy for years. I'm sure there are other fantasy football players out there like myself who just were saddled to Hillman every year thinking it was going to be a breakout. It never happened. In four total seasons in the NFL, 1,976 total rushing yards, 12 touchdowns, 4 yards per carry. Dig a little bit deeper. Dallas already has Alfred Morris as a backup running back. They also have one of the great young running backs in the game on their roster in Ezekiel Elliott. To go out and sign Ronnie Hillman without any sort of injury occurring over the last few days, do you think this low is a signal that the organization is becoming increasingly concerned about the future availability of one Ezekiel Elliott?
I think that you have to look at it. I think that competition breeds competition, or it can just say that, hey, we're not necessarily happy with our number two running back. McFadden, you know, is maybe they're saying, hey, we got to make sure we get another guy if something does happen to Ezekiel. So I think that it does bring concern, and I think that Ezekiel needs to look at it as, hey, look, what are they saying? And I know Jerry Jones, everyone's talking about Jerry Jones. Why is he coming out, and why is he defending this guy? Behind closed doors, trust me, owners are going to defend usually their players, their product. You got to do that. Behind closed doors, they're disappointed. Don't think that Jason Garrett's not disappointed. Don't think that he's not behind saying, man, you got to grow up. Man, we're tired of going to bat for you. Hey, I understand you're going to be tempted. I understand, hey, there's different things out there. Hey, I played with Michael. I know there's stuff out there and people are going to, you know, judge you a certain way and everything's not your fault, but you're putting yourself in harm's way. You're doing something. Hell, I've been in trouble. And at the same sense, it's not that you're necessarily a bad person, but sometimes you make bad decisions. Hell, I made bad decisions by under the influence, being drunk, making stupid decisions that you might not make when you're sober. And even though you're not necessarily the corporate, but you did something. You're not all innocent. So you got to look at it, and they have to look at this, and Ezekiel has to look at this like, look, I have something to blame. I have to bear some of the blame. And you got to look at yourself in that magnifying glass, especially if you're a high-profile player like Ezekiel. So absolutely, this is a wake-up call. This is that call to say, look, you're not dependable. We can't depend on you. So we're going to make moves and go after and bring other people in.
Does it concern? I think most of us would agree that Jerry Jones is one of, if not the most powerful owners in the NFL. Does it concern you a bit knowing that he's behind the scenes working Goodell, working the league office to get a favorable ruling here? I think a lot of times we just assume the league office, the disciplinary board, they handle their business and they don't have anyone intruding. But I think Jones has enough clout where he can make a couple phone calls and try to apply a little bit of pressure, Dibs.
Without a doubt. And I think you saw that in the Robert Kraft Patriots Deflategate thing, where Robert Kraft was probably not as influential in getting Tom Brady's suspension either reduced or outright waived. And if you're Ezekiel Elliott and you have all these incidents that happened in the past and you could be facing a suspension, if you use the barometer for other domestic violence situations, he might get more games than he probably will, but it's because of Jerry Jones.
A recent study published in the New York Times analyzed 202 former NFL players' brains. 111 of those former football players played in the NFL. So this wasn't all NFL players. It was people who had played football, but 111 of those 202 brains were from NFL players. How many do you think tested positive for CTE? I'll give you a hint. More than 100. That's coming up next. Joe Lowe and Dibs, 95.7 The Game.
Now back to Joe Lowe and Dibs on 95.7 The Game.
Joe Lowe and Dibs, 95.7 The Game. We're out here at 8:45 this morning. Is Townie coming in? Are we going to have Townie in studio at the end of the show? We'll find out more on that in a bit. I'd love to see him.
Always him good to see Townie.
Townie versus Dibs?
We're old friends. It's just, you know, it's mostly bluster and hot air. It's all love when we see each other. But when we're not together, it's all backstabbing and hatred. Typical radio.
When when you mentioned the Jets signed Lucky Whitehead, what are the odds that the Jets signed the fake Lucky Whitehead from Virginia, not the real Lucky Whitehead from the Cowboys?
That's a good odds. I'll take those odds.
It's a 50-50 knowing the Jets. All right. On a more serious note, recently, neurologist Dr. Anne McKee, who runs the CTE Center at Boston University, published a study on CTE in the New York Times. She studied the brains of 202 former players. Now, 202 former football players, not all of them were NFL players. But of those 202 brains, she found CTE in 87% of them. 87% of those 202 brains had evidence of CTE. More alarmingly, of the 202 brains, 111 of them were donated by former NFL players. Of those 111 brains, 110 tested positive for CTE. 110 out of 111. This is a very comprehensive study. It is a very detailed study. It is a terrifying study. Lo, the league office and the players, when news like this comes out, what do they start talking about?
They start talking about, oh my God, what are we doing? How do we protect the brand? The NFL itself, the shield says, oh my God, these studies are coming out. The rabbit's out of the hat. You saw the movie. You see different things about it, how people try to play it down or dummy down and to hide evidence. When you have money, it's big oil, whoever it may be.
Big tobacco.
You can suppress information, prudent stuff, because of the fact he who owns the goal rules. And it's no different than the NFL. And what have they done since then? Heads up football. Can't hit a defensive player. All these rules, it's not necessarily protect the player. It's to protect the brand. People get that mixed up. The misconceptions, oh, the game's getting safer. They care about the players. No, they don't. You don't care about the players. If you cared about the players, you'd do guaranteed contracts. If you cared about the players, you'd make sure they have insurance for life. If you cared about the players, this wouldn't even been an issue if you would have gave the guys insurance and took care of them medically after they left the game or the game that they left and left the game better off. Why wouldn't you take care of them? Why'd you turn your back on them? Why did it have to come to this? Because you knew you wasn't taking care of the player. All you was doing was taking care of the brand. You hear the thunder before you see the lightning tell you to come under the rain. The rain is on its way, fool. So when you look at the NFL and you look at the big brand, they understood what was coming down the pipeline. And they said, no, we see it, so we're going to head it off. So we're going to try to put these in place. But no, the proof is in the pudding. So now the cat's out of the bag. So yes, Joe, the league itself, so what do they say now? They're saying we're protecting the game. We're going down to the youth football, moms, and getting them involved, heads up football, because they know that this game is dangerous and it's a tough sport. But guys would still play the game. You're not going to necessarily deter everyone, but you're going to start deterring the rich. You're going to start deterring the educated. You're going to start deterring the moms and dad that look at it and say, no, this is not good for you. And they're going to hold their kids out of that contact sports until they're in high school, until they're of the age that they can make that decision to say that I still want to play and the risk is worth the reward because I love the game. You're going to see a huge shift because of these studies and all this stuff's coming out. It behooves parents to hold their kids out. If I had a kid, if I had another young son, I wouldn't let him play until he gets at least seventh grade, at least sixth to seventh grade, because I would want him to play flag. I would want him to learn all the nuances of football, but I wouldn't let my kid, my kindergarten and third and fourth grade, I wouldn't let him at least till sixth. Sixth grade would be the absolute earliest.
And why is that?
Because I understand now, looking at this and seeing the different damage early, letting kids get in their bell rung and thinking it's okay, putting them in pads. Teach him the fundamentals, wanting him to start working out, working on his traps, his neck, to get stronger, teaching him the different things, get him in wrestling. You can still get him in physical sports without the risk. So that's why I would do it. I would still let him play if they decided to when they get in sixth and seventh grade. But at this young, when they're yet, no. Because if they decide to make it a career, they understand. I want to make sure, like when I was my son, that they're informed of the risks that you're going to go through.
We make a lot of jokes about that time you, me, and Little Lo went to the movies
Yeah.
because I got stuck in the middle of the Rocky Mountains and the Alps, and they just kept moving towards me.
We did.
The Atlantic Ocean got squeezed out in this whole question.
We had popcorn for him, though, Dibs.
That's nice.
Right, which they reached over each other to grab. But that's a different story. We have fun, but the movie we went to see was Concussion with Will Smith. Afterwards, you and Little Low were talking quite a bit about that because he's going to have an opportunity to perhaps play in the National Football League. He's going to start in his second year at Purdue this coming fall. What do you say to him? What does he ask you when studies like this come out?
You know, Joe, it was interesting because when we walked out of that movie, he looked at me after you left and we start walking the time to the Tenderloin and we're going back to my little studio.
Those good old days.
The good old days.
Good old days of low knee on the loin.
Yeah. And he looked at me and said, Dad, are you okay? How are you feeling? Without a doubt, he had concern. It wasn't even an issue. And I just, you know, smiled and said, Dad's fine. And I said, I've done what I needed to do in order to make sure you guys are okay. I said, but are you okay? Do you see what can happen by playing this game, this dangerous game? And I said, I was a grown man's son playing a kid's game, getting a king's ransom. You understand that. I said, but you don't have to. I said, you're okay. I said, financially, you don't have to. I said, Dad's done well. We've done okay. We're going to be able to, you know, you're going to be okay. Just go to school, get a great education. You're not going to be super rich, but you can survive in this world and still be happy. We're going to be all right.
You will have opportunity.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And he said, Dad, I still love it. And he goes, but I do understand the risk. And he goes, I don't use my head as a, I said, son, I know you don't, but you're going to be blocking that two gap and holing in there, and you're going to be engaged in an offensive lineman, and the running back's going to come through, and you're going to have to make a split decision, and you're going to either say, I can't get my arm through because the guy's got you, the offensive line's holding you, and you're going to have to dip your head and lean in there and stick it in there into harm's way. So I understand the game's changing. I understand that you're an off defensive lineman and you don't have the collision like the fullback and linebacker both at 5 yards and an open hole opens up and it's two battle rams. I understand you don't do that. But running backs, and you're going to have to lean in there and your head is going to take some trauma. Are you willing to go down this road, this rabbit hole, that you may not come out like that? And Joe, he looked at me and Dibs and he said, he is. He said he loves it. He loves playing the game. And he's aware of the consequences that could happen to him.
And that's the best you can do at this point.
Yeah.
Is to educate him, inform him, discuss it with him, and advise him. You're on absolute fire right now. Catch a breath for a sec. Let me bring in Dibs. Dibs, you have two. Are both your sons teenagers?
Yes. Yes. High
school
kids.
Keon just became a teenager, did he not?
Yes, he did.
Beautiful.
Yes, he did.
Now, if they came to you and your lovely wife and they wanted to have a discussion, they wanted to play football, for example, or they wanted to get into a sport, but they weren't necessarily sure which one, and they started with football, tackle football. What would you and your wife say to them?
It's a non-starter. It's a non-discussion item. It's something,
really?
Yeah, that we've discussed, and my wife is adamant about them never playing football, and it's an absolute no. And it's particularly curious with my older son because he's close to 6'2" now, old Questy Lou, and he goes as a solid 2 bills. He's a big boy. Skyline High School is a football team that has about 25 kids. Football is dying in America. We know that at the high school level. And you go to Oakland and you see it even more than in most places. You know, you got the 6 high schools and a lot of the teams don't have more than 25, 30 guys on varsity. It's really sad. He could probably help them out. But the whole idea of concussions and the other injuries that go along with football, my wife just, she couldn't handle it. There's no way she would allow him to play.
We're going to keep this thing going, and if you want to weigh in, we'd love to hear from you. 888-957-9570. If you're a parent, you're going to be a parent. How would you talk to your kids about this? What do you think about the state of football in this country at the high school, junior high, and intramural level? 888-957-9570. It's Joe Low and Dibs with that, plus a 49er training camp report here on 95.7 The Game.
Now, back to Joe Low and Dibs on 95.7 The Game.
We've got $1,000 to give away at 7 a.m., $1,000 to give away at 8 a.m., and our ticket window today has been moved up from its customary spot at 8:45 to 8:30. You may be asking why. That's because at 8:45, Uncle Townie's taking over with the Dugout Show. Early day game today, first pitch 9:37 a.m., as the A's look to avoid the O Canada sweep, which is why musically we're playing a lot of Canadian bands today. Joe Low and Dibs, 95.7 The Game. Phone lines are packed. Here's the reason why. Dr. Ann McKee's study in the New York Times which recently found that of 111 former NFL player brains that were examined, 110 showed signs of CTE. 110 of 111 NFL player brains showed signs of CTE. Lorenzo Neal is offering up his time to you. Parents, teachers, coaches, anyone with concern who want to talk about this matter. Football in America at the youth level. Should you let your children play? If you're unfamiliar with some of the studies, unfamiliar with how a lot of this works, Lowe's here to answer your questions. The phone number is 888-957-9570. If you'd like to weigh in on the topic in general, we'd love to hear from you. 888-957-9570. Dibs, as a parent of two teenage boys, he and his wife feel, no, football is a non-starter.
Yes,
a
non-starter, too dangerous. The injury risk is too high, and the whole idea of CTE and the concussions has my wife terrified. She saw that movie in the theater with my sons, actually, and they're not in. They're out.
Lo, you have a son who's going to be a sophomore at Purdue. He plays defensive tackle. Hell of a young man. Yep. Brilliant young man. Hell of a talent as well. You don't have a problem with him playing, but you are there to help educate him and advise him.
No question, Joe. You have to, as parents, especially now. My son is a very smart individual, but he has his own voice, and he has his own opinions. And it used to be when you're a parent, you say, no, you can't do that. Hey, you dismiss things a lot easier. When they get in high school and when they, especially in college, you can't just dismiss it because they're going to college and they're bright young minds and they're around great professors and it gives them perspective. Not everything they say is right because they still think they know everything, but you have to take a step back and say, wow, listen to them, whether it's politics or it's about education, about anything. You can't just be any more the dominant figure in even though you're the father. So yes, I can give him advice and tell him my scenario, tell him different things, but they're ultimately, it's going to be their decision. He's in a young adult.
888-957-9570 is the phone number. We'll begin with Devin in Menlo Park. Devin, thank you for calling the program. Your thoughts on CTE and football, please go ahead.
Hi. Yeah, I'm a psychologist in the Bay Area. I do neuroimaging studies on adolescent brain development. So this is a really important topic to me. Thanks for talking about it and sharing information about this important study. And my children do wrestling, but they don't do football. And that's something that I probably wouldn't let them do. But I certainly would, encourage flag football and other types of sports like that. The other thing that I think Lowe was talking about is how the demographics of football participation are going to be changing in the future. And he talked about generally families that are more informed, have more options, are pulling their kids out. And so I think we have a model for that change, which is boxing. And if we go back, and look at the history of boxing, how popular it was and how it's changed to now, the people that are playing it are usually people that have fewer opportunities and are more willing to take risks. So thanks again for covering this topic.
Hang on a quick second. I could be wrong, but is it not true that the brain's not fully developed between 18 to 25?
That's correct. That's absolutely correct. There's a lot of development still going on into the early 20s. We're doing a study right now on 9 and 10-year-olds called the ABCD study. It's the largest neuroimaging study of its type in the country. We're going to be looking at 10,000 kids at 21 sites across the nation, and we're going to be following them and asking them, are you playing sports? Are you playing football? And we're going to be looking at their brains developing through this crucial developmental period. We don't know exactly what participation in contact sports looks like on the developing adolescent brain right now. We don't think it's great, especially if there are discrete occurrences like specific concussions. We know those aren't healthy. But we want to find out more about even the kids that go through those sports without specific injuries. But we want to know what are the effects? Are there effects? We're not sure, but we're trying to find that out.
Thank you, Devin. We appreciate the phone call. That was terrific stuff. You call him Jason Carrot instead of Jason Garrett, but when we talk about the age of the brain developing, 18 to 25,
seriously,
correct? Where's all that coming from?
Well, Joe, I do a lot of different
tremendous
things, not just here, but, I do some different research. As far as with in the inner city kids and talking about, with especially underprivileged kids. We're talking about development of brain. So it helps also not just in sports, but just in other things too.
Bravo, sir. Bravo.
Impressive.
With that data.
Very impressive knowledge.
Almost feel like that whole phone call was a setup. Who's Devin? Is Devin the guy who was tiling his house down in Fresno? Is that all a setup?
I wish that people could see you guys both looking at me like I'm coming from an alien or something.
I'm flabbergasted.
Yesterday he's telling me about Ryan Tannehan. Today he's telling me 18 to 25. The brain's still developing.
He tries to talk about a bad team and it's
ferocious.
But then it's, you know, brain studies. He's right there.
Ferocious.
Guys, I was at MIT last week and
totally.
I was participating in a couple. Andrea in Fairfield, a nurse who's calling the program. Andrea, thanks for the call. Please go ahead.
Hello, gentlemen, and thank you so much for having this conversation. So I'm the one that takes care of these kids when they come into the hospital, and it always amazes me, the parents and the kids that want to go right back from where they came, that caused them to have this injury. You're in the ICU, young man. I have to help you walk to the restroom, and you still want to go back and get into the game. I get that because we love the sport. But what I don't understand, and I like that you say that it crosses all borders, it's the educated people that it astounds me that they still want their kids to go out there and play. And I don't understand, do they want them to be heroes? Do they want them to get scholarships? But is it worth it? And it's true, the brain is still developing at 25 years old. And if you get hurt at 17 and 18, what does that leave for your future? You won't be able to play football or do anything else. I worry about these kids and this mess that how they hit each other, and I'm taking care of them, and it hurts my heart. But we love the sport. So what do we do here? How do we educate people better?
Andrea, that is a fantastic phone call. I'm going to throw that question right to Loneil. Loneil, what do you think about that?
That's a great call. And I want parents to do me a favor tonight when you get home with your kid and say, okay, you want to play football? I want to see. I don't care if he's in high school. I don't care if he's 8, 9, 10, 11, 12 years old.
What about Chubbs? He's 6 months. Should I have this conversation with him?
Have it with him.
Chubbs, if you could take the avocado out of your mouth for 5 seconds, I'd like to talk to you about something.
No, let him continue to eat the avocado while you speak. People can still eat while they just listen.
There's avocado all over the house. It's absurd.
As I digest. But you have your son or daughter, because here's the thing. Concussions are happening in soccer as well at an alarming rate. And that's for women too. So this is just not a football thing. So I want you to get your son or daughter and tell them to lay on their back. And you have them, like, you know, when you're saying yes, you move your head up and saying yes. I want you to have your son or daughter lay on their back and move their head up and try to almost touch their chin.
Chin to the chest.
Yep. And see if you want them to do it just 75 times nonstop. Or no, let's make it easy. Let's go 50. 50 times nonstop, and then after that, go right to no-no, where you're still laying on your back, got your head, and then you're shaking your head no-no, all the way across, and see if they can finish that. Because I'm telling you, so many people, they want their kids to be big chests, have big arms, big legs.
Beach muscles,
but they're not working their traps. They're not working the main thing to keep your head kind of centered, your neck and your trap muscles. So people say there's things that you can do to prevent the concussions. So try that. Try that. I think that's a great exercise for parents to do with their kids, to let them know, hey, before you do this, I want you to get up to being able to do 100 nonstop, 100 yes, 100 no's. You'll be shocked how many can't do it.
And the reason you say that is because in soccer, concussions are on the rise.
Yes.
Because kids are able to head the ball.
Yep.
And when they're heading the ball, they're suffering concussions because the neck and the traps aren't necessarily developed.
That's correct. That is absolutely correct.
I'm going to go home and have that conversation today.
With Chubbs.
Hey, baby, get out here.
Get Chubbies doing it.
He would do one, and then two. I'd be like, look at this. And
yes.
Wait, what just happened? Lo told me this was going to work. Carl in San Jose, thank you for calling the program. Carl in San Jose, please go ahead.
Yeah, thanks for taking my call, you guys. It's a great conversation. I listen to you guys every morning, and this is a topic that's really passionate to me. I played football through high school and actually through college as well. And one of those guys who just loved the game. And as a Loneil and anyone knows who plays the game enough, you've had your bell rung plenty of times.
Sure.
There's gaps in time that I don't remember. But, you know, I always thought I would have my son, he would play, and I've got one now. And just with the data, I'm a little older than you guys, almost 50, but just because of the data that are out now, I don't believe we're not going to let our son play football. From all the information that's come out, he's a fairly athletic. He's 11 years old now. But what I always hear folks say, I always thought I would be one of those guys who said, you know, I'm going to let my kid decide this when he gets a little bit older. But we've all got boys. We know boys. I'm not letting a 10-year-old boy make almost any decision besides what he wants for cereal in the morning, because they don't make any good decisions. And I think we've got to be really careful. You know, where is our responsibility as a parent when we let them make some of these decisions? We're not letting them do anything super dangerous. And, I listened to Devin earlier, and I actually work with children also. I have a PhD in special education, been work with children my whole life. And I also know that those frontal lobes do not develop. They do not make good decisions. A buddy of mine and I, we call boys from about 10 years old to about 20, 22, we call them all donuts because they just don't make good decisions. And, so I think of Lo Neal's child in Purdue, and he's a young man. And, yeah, 20 years old or so, you absolutely got to make your decision. But start backing that up. 18 in high school, yeah, they're going to have to make their decision. 16 starts to get questionable. 14, 12, can a 12-year-old really make a conscious decision about the rest of their life and their health? And that's where it really gets difficult in this time. And it's a personal decision and with families, and it's a tough one.
Thank you, Carl. That was a terrific phone call. Here's what we're going to do. The phone lines are packed. 888-957-9570. As parents, as coaches, as educators, administrators, how do you feel about football, CTE, the study we're talking about in America at the youth levels? Are you concerned for the future? Are you concerned for the youth? Do we need to do a better job of educating both parents and children? Lo Neal is here to answer your questions. Plus, we've got $1,000 to give away in just a few moments. So we're back in a flash. Joe Lo and Dibs with your phone calls, 888-957-9570, 95.7 The Game.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.